Good afternoon, Chief Minister and members. I'm going to be going through the presentation of the 2018 budget as well as the regional draft estimate. This is just an outline of the presentation structure. I'm going to go through most of it quite briefly and then just make a few to note that at the end we've also included some supplementary slides which provide some further detail on the budget per department in the different sectors. Just to kick off, this is to highlight the planning, budgeting and implementation cycle that we have followed in putting together the budget 2018, and to note that we have been to the house on particularly two milestones within the process, which include when we have tabled our municipal and provincial economic review and outlook, to note that we take into account what is happening in the economy in the formulation of the budget. And then also in November, we do come with the medium-term budget policy statement, which sets out the policy intent and the budget framework that is behind the budget 2018. And today we are at the budget day, and there's a number of other engagements just to highlight that we also go through a consultative status process within the province as well as with the municipalities as part of the cycle. Now, maybe just to kick off with, in terms of the budget context, and the Minister has spoken in length on what's happening in the economy, so maybe just from our side to point out that the global economic outlook and the South African economic outlook seems to be improving. The figures that they have included in the budget overview are of course not the ones that were released just today. But looking at the figures of today, South Africa's growth coming in at 1.3% in 2017, which is definitely showing that there has been a pickup in economic activity, which is positive. On the other hand, with regards to the Western Cape, we were perhaps not that fortunate in terms of our economic growth being affected by what we have in with regards to the drought and the water crisis. So the estimates are flat with regards to the Western Cape economic growth. So while we usually track the performance of the national economy, the drought is having quite a severe impact on the Western Cape economy, notwithstanding some of the initiatives to try and mitigate the winter, which the budget will also present. And then, furthermore, because of the low levels of growth, although even through the outlook over the medium term has improved, the recent low levels have impacted on national revenue collection. And the impact on the provincial fiscal framework has actually been in reduced transfers from national government in both of our two sources, the provincial equal share as well as the conditional grant. So just with regard to the provincial equal share for the 18-19 year alone, it's a reduction of about 100 then also the conditional grant will also impacted upon, and particularly within the human settlement development grant, that grant was reduced over the NSEP, the comprehensive HIV/AIDS and TB grant, as well as the sport and library grant. So those are some of the fiscal revisions that we had to deal with following the national entity request and the national budget. Some of the other key provincial risks that we had to take into account in formulating the budget includes increased service load pressures, and that's particularly in the departments in the social sector, health, education, social development, which is also very much impacted on increasing population and also heightened levels of poverty and unemployment. Other issues that needed to be looked at was also the extent of crime risk to infrastructure delivery, as well as taking into account some of the reductions to the funding, maintenance backlog, drought, water crisis, and then some of the other risks that we've also noted with regards to the state of public transport in the city of Cape Town, which also impacts on the economy, and then the main risk is the impact of the recent announced VAT increase, as well as the uncertainty with regards to the outcome of the wage negotiations. So these are some of the things that we need to factor into the budget simulation. Just to give you some additional detail and context, we've actually included the detail around the provincial equitable share adjustments. So as you will see that there has been some adjustments to the provincial equitable share as a result of the annual revision, taking into account some of the new data updates. And then we have received 545 million over the NSEP in addition. Other adjustments that we received through the provincial equitable share, from the policy perspective, there has been additional allocations to social development, which you can see is outlined there. And then the red line is actually showing you the cuts that we have received. So in December, we received notification of the cuts to the provincial equitable share. And later I'll explain how we've also dealt with this. Then also just for further context, we've provided you with the changes to the conditional grant, the conditional grant of the 2018 NSEP, and particularly there you will see, as mentioned on the previous slide, there have been significant reductions to the comprehensive HIV/AIDS grant, as well as the human settlement grant, if you just have a look at those. So there has been some increases, but in the main, those are some of the key reductions that we've needed to deal with, as well as the transport, public transport operations grant, and in culture, literacy, and sport as well. So the other major issue that, of course, needed to be looked at is the drought and the water crisis, and we also went through extensive processes as part of the budget deliberations with the different departments to understand what are some of the key risks to provincial service delivery and also to the economy as a result of the drought and water crisis, and these are outlined on these slides. So the impact on the ability also to provide basic services could increase food inflation, disruption to health and education systems, disease outbreaks, etc. So this is also just outlining more detail on some of the drought and water crisis. Now, in terms of the response, the fiscal approach, and we have previously presented our fiscal and budget policy principles to the House and also to this committee, and those have remained intact for the budget 2018, and it's focusing on the allocated efficiency, fiscal consolidation, fiscal sustainability, as well as fiscal discipline. So we have applied these principles throughout the budget process and also to inform the allocations that we will be presenting today. In terms of the fiscal approach, we have also previously presented or outlined the key fiscal approach in terms of the three areas. So we do table a balanced budget to ensure that there is sustainable service delivery on the revenue side, initiatives to enhance and optimize own revenue collection, and also continually engaging with the national treasury, particularly on the transfers, given that it's the majority of our revenue source, and then on the expenditure side, it's looking at the appropriate mix between the different expenditure items, and there is also detail on that within the budget overview, and then also particularly looking at how we manage our personnel budgets, and our approach to that is to continue over the medium term. Now, taking into account what is happening in the economy, the revisions that we have received through the reduced transfers, as well as the risks that we needed to respond to, we have a provincial strategic plan, and giving effect to this plan remains one of the key principles in forming the budget, as well as the infrastructure-led growth that the Minister has also spoken about. The fiscal response also therefore focuses on how we particularly manage and respond to the drought and the water crisis, looking at our service load pressures, managing the risks related to the wage negotiations, and then also fiscal sustainability being one of the principles. We needed to also look at how we protect our fiscal reserves, and particularly how the use of those reserves also helps us understand sustainability in the current context. As I mentioned, managing personnel budgets remain key, and also making sure that the government banks that they have achieved are not impacted or compromised by these revisions to the fiscal framework. So one of the key approaches in putting through the budget 2018 is, given this uncertainty in the economic and fiscal environment, is to remain to protect the sufficient reserves, and the reserves that I'm referring to is fiscal stabilization for unforeseen and unavoidable and also for service load pressures. And then funding has also been set aside to try and manage the risks related to the potential outcome of the wage negotiations, which is still uncertain at this stage. And then there's also been additional provisions for drought in 2018-19, other than what we've also announced in the Justice Estimates 2017. So, just looking at the provision for fiscal reserves and the sustainability of current services, what we've outlined there is we're protecting the reserves to deal with uncertainty. And the reserves that we have had in previous years that have not needed to be drawn down, we've now been able to actually use that particularly to provide for the sustainability of current services. So under that section, you will see what we have set aside for the fiscal stabilization reserve, and this is particularly to deal with any potential volatility in the fiscal framework, the amount for unforeseen and unavoidable, and then also for service load pressures to ensure that the provincial government can continue to deliver on its core service mandate. Then, in terms of providing for the sustainability of current services, that is a key consideration, particularly from the perspective of maintaining stability in the social sector. The allocations that we have received from the national government with regards to the changes in the provincial equitable share formula, we have allocated that entire amount to education, about 66% went to education, and the balance went to the health department, particularly to address the key issues relating to increased demand and learning growth within the education system, and then also key service load pressures within the health department. And then furthermore, there have also been allocations to service load pressures, particularly for education, health, and social development of the medium term. Then this slide, this slide is just also highlighting the collective allocations that have been made towards the drought, water crisis, and fire. And we have presented some of these as part of the adjusted estimate 2017. So you will see that in 2017-18, the allocations is in excess of about 165 million. And the minister has also outlined all the areas that the funding will be allocated to, but it's also in the slide for you. And then for 18-19, in excess of 257 million, and that now includes the additional 100 million that's also been set aside in the provincial revenue fund for 2018-19, subject to the finalisation of plans. So this slide is just outlining some of the drought and water crisis response that this budget takes into account, and some of the initiatives that province is already busy with, and further initiatives that also include appointment of geohydrologists, engineers, monitoring the drought and infrastructure spending, drought engagement, etc. So it's a whole package. The two slides outline the extent of drought and water crisis response details. Then on the budget policy priorities, the provincial strategic plan and the five provincial strategic goals, the minister's speech outlines quite a bit of detail under each provincial strategic goal, what are the key things and priorities underneath each of these strategic goals, I'm not going to go into detail on it, but just to also for your information, this slide is summarizing some of the key initiatives, programs and projects in support of the provincial strategic goals and also that this budget is funding. So under each provincial strategic goal, you can see the different initiatives and the minister also spoke about extensively in the speech. Now, to get to the 2018 NSEP allocations, as you will see on this slide, you will see what the total budget is. You look at it at the bottom. So we are taking for 2018-19 a 62.748 billion budget. And this slide also nicely outlines the fiscal approach and our response to the earlier budget context. So from this you will see that health and education remains the lion's share of the budget, but you will also see that in terms of the difference, baseline to baseline, that we have managed to protect the social services from budget reductions, and you can see that from education, health, social development. The bulk of the amendments or adjustments that needed to be made as a result of the reduced transfers in the provincial equitable share has been borne by the government sector because the principle was to protect key frontline services. And then the other reduction is particularly within human settlements, but this is mainly because of the reduction in the human settlements development grant that we've received from National. So this gives you the in-depth allocation of the 2018 digital expenditure framework for all of us. Also, as part of the budget overview, there's also a particular chapter that goes into the detail of the infrastructure budget. As Minister Mayor has mentioned, infrastructure investment remains a top priority, and there's an allocation of over 25 billion over the 2018 NSEP towards infrastructure, with this diagram also showing you how that 25 billion is made up over the NSEP. The majority is going to health, education, health, and human settlements, and then also continue with the key objective of maintenance and protecting infrastructure-led growth. There's also a particular section that focuses on the spatial distribution of the provincial budget, looking at it for district and metro, and this is just outlining that spatial distribution per district, and you will see that in terms of how the provincial budget is spread over the province, 68% approximately goes to the Cape Town metro. And then also, even though the Central Karoo district has the smallest proportion of the payment across the district, it is showing the largest year-on-year growth, and that is about 12% in 2018-19. So on the consolidated budget summary, and the budget summary here will show you the top sharing of the provincial receipts from the different sources, our receipts from National in the form of the equitable share as well as the conditional grant, and then also from our internal financing and our provincial own receipts, and then also below that it's showing you the provincial payments and provisions. And what you can see is that the provincial receipts is growing at about 4.25%. And that the provincial payments and provisions are growing at about 5.21%. So this is slightly above the projected inflation for the 2018 year. And those reserves that are also spoke about previously is outlined there. The provincial receipts, transfers from national government, continues to account for about 93% of our personal resource income, with about 74.5% due to the provincial export share and about 18.7% to conditional grant. And in total, the provincial resource income is growing at about 5.4%, and provincial own receipts remain just below 5% of our total revenue income. Looking at how the budget is broken down, the economic classification, just over half remains within our personnel budget, so our compensation of employees accounts for 54.6%, that's about 54 billion, and then goods and services about 21.7 billion transfers and subsidies at about 50.8% and 21%, and payments to capital assets at 7.9%. So it's just also showing that if you look at the data of the economic classification, how the provincial budget is made up. And then also, as I've mentioned earlier, the personnel budget upper limit that was introduced in 1617 remains a key part of the fiscal strategy to make sure that we remain within our budget limits. And so it will continue over the medium term to be part of the strategy to improve personnel management and bringing about some of the fiscal consolidation. So in summary, the 2018 budget is positioned to promote service delivery while giving effect to the national and provincial policy imperatives as outlined in 2014 to 2019 provincial strategic plan. The fiscal approach very much premised on maintaining fiscal stability, given the risks that we are facing and given what's happening in the economy, and particularly responding to some of the service delivery risks, which includes the drought and the water issues. And then the 2018 budget places people and creating public value at the centre of budget policies with a prioritisation for frontline service delivery and continued protection of these frontline services, particularly within health, education and social development. And then also looking at the effective delivery of government programs will continue, supported by integrated management that is working within the provincial departments and across the sphere, partnering approaches as well as maintaining good governance, and the investment in public infrastructure remains a priority with the 25 billion over the NTIP, and also a focus on youth disability and skills development. So that summarizes the 2018. And then with regards to the additional adjusted estimates, just to outline the 100 million that has been received for the new settlement development grant from National Human Settlement. 57 million of this is for catalytic projects, and 43 million is for the acquisition of land in some meters and in our space. And then also the additional adjusted estimates includes the provision of drought assistance to the various municipalities and also the 2 million for asbestos removal in the key district municipalities. So we have also included these supplementary slides, and I'm not going to go through it. It just gives you the direct dramatic representation of the sector budget. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Lee, and thank you to Jamie, presentation. The committee will have their detailed presentations from the department. From tomorrow, but I will allow for questions. And Mr. Clarity, any questions? Anybody?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was going to refer to slide 5, where you gave the growth and the economic growth estimate that you fell short to show what's happening in the Western Cape in terms of the estimate. Now, I don't know why you did that, because I see the South African economic growth estimate to be 1.4, if I'm correct, and I think that's forward thinking. But can you help me where we stand within the Western Cape? And I thought that would be the obvious one that you will give us, because we're busy with business of the Western Cape. Chairperson, then I would like to ask on slide 15, just to get 100% clarity, let me first refer to slide 14, just to understand those three reserves that we have there at the top. Are they allocated, or are they all waiting for the adjustment budget? I'm referring to the fiscal stabilization reserve, and also the reserve for unforeseen, that one, and also the service load pressure one. Because if you add up all those reserves, it's quite a bit of money that's going to be, and maybe you can help me where it will be parked and what's going to happen to that. Flowing from that, Chairperson, slide 15, when you say 2017, 2018, was that the actual spending in terms of drought, water crisis, fire? And would 18-19 be the actual amount that's going to be spent? And again, I see there's two provisions. The one is reserve for water requirements, so there's a 38 million rand part, and then apparently 100 million rand that's not been allocated. And that brings us to that one slide with the total budget, where you explain at the bottom of on slide 21, when you say total expenditure excluding reserve monies. And if I can just get a full understanding what that package and amount of reserve monies that we're referring to. While we're on that slide 21, and I'm going to conclude now, Chairperson, is that human settlements, if I can understand that one under this budget, is a reduction of 300 million rand. Actually more than that, if we look at the previous slide that you showed, and that's a major concern, because I mean 350 million, what was it, 370 million, if you can help me with the correct amount. Although it's been reflected here as 317, but the bigger amount in terms of the grant for let's say human settlements and housing is more, but okay, it's not here or there. It's more than 300 million rand. And the question is, why was that 300 million rand not being allocated as anticipated? And what would 300 million rand be as an effect on delivery on housing opportunities in terms of human settlements? And I would really like to understand, the deviation from the others are not that big, but when you get to human settlements, it's 317, or more than that, million rand. And that brings me to the adjustments that we're referring to, Chairperson, on slide 29. You just first understand the catalytic projects at 57 million. So I believe that's been a conditional grant, or it's been earmarked for specific projects, and if you can help me there. If it's only yet to, maybe you can also help what's going to really happen with that 43 million rand within it's only yet to. But then what you did not put a number to is that grant assistance to various municipalities. Now, again, as a glaring absence of a number, and if I look quickly, and I mean there was no time to really look at it, but if I look at the adjusted one that we have in front of us now, I see there's 84 million rand as well that's been shifted around between local government. And if you can unpack that 84 million, because almost add up to 184,500,000, and really to understand what's happening in terms of drought assistance to various municipalities, and how does it relate to that drought slide, Chairperson, that you gave us in terms of that over 400 million? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Just one slide. Now we know that the GDP, the real GDP figures only came out recently, and fact this morning, I think. I don't find that they will give us an updated slide, given that the figures obviously change, and we know the background why the policy is so low. But if we can just get an updated slide going forward, and the forecast going forward, thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you, Chair. It's on page 5. Looking at especially three questions, all three on unintended consequences or whatever. The Western Cape, the PREP growth, as we see it in terms of the water crisis, I'm not sure what the answer be in terms of the severity of the crisis. I'm not a climatologist. But in terms of your response, in terms of mitigation, what do we foresee if this trend keeps on going in this direction? With drought, with evaporation of our water, the dams running dry, etc., etc. I'm just thinking in terms of development and job creation, and it may throw a spell in the wheels in terms of future projections in that regard. And then secondly, the interventions, the measures that are in place in terms of addressing this specific issue. Are they sufficient to at least alleviate this problem and not place unnecessary pressure on our budget? Then the second one is on page 6, with the service low pressures. Now this is, I mean, also one of those unforeseen issues that falls totally beyond, I would say, human control. It has to do with demographics, and it places constraints on the budget. And I would like to know if we sit with that one together with crime, that's also spiraling out of control, totally out of control in the Western Cape. I don't want to sound negative, but crime affects all sectors of society. Education, the economy, all the lot, if we can name them. So it cuts across all sectors. What are the mitigating factors in terms of that? So I think I'm more worried about the situation as it is than I need guidance or any, because you're only human also. We can't predict anything, but the demographics, the influx, the pressure on the budget, the servicing of people has a detrimental effect on growth, economic growth. We speak about economic growth, growing the economy and creating jobs, etc. But as I see this type of scenario, it makes me a little bit worried. Thank you.
Can I think to start off with, and I thank you for the questions, maybe this is part of the last bit of comments. I mean, perhaps it's too sensitive to look at that to a year or even maybe a year and a half ago. I think that the one thing that we kept advocating was the need for a given all the risks that we were facing was the need for holding position on our budget. And as a result of that approach that we took, and I mean, Marsh has touched on it in the presentation around the fiscal policy principles and the issues around maintaining balanced budget and to ensure sustainability of services to address these risks. One of the things that we did was to introduce the issue of reserves to cushion impact in relation to the risks that may have materialized or we expected to materialize. And as a topic, as for the presentation, some of those risks have in fact materialized and gave us some of the ability to respond in this particular budget. Chairperson, I think I'll ask my colleagues to try and deal with some of the other questions. The other thing I just wanted to touch on is the issue around the smart spine. The growth estimate for Western Cape is included in the document on page 10 of the budget overview. And as Marsha indicated in the presentation, on the slide we have indicated that the outlook for 2018 is flat. So I'm going to hand over to my colleagues to deal with some of those topics that you have.
Just one or two things from our side. Chair, I'd like to thank the committee, obviously, to read the presentation in conjunction with the books that we made up. There's lots of detail in the book, and I mean, I know there is a lot of time. But for the committee, I believe some of the most problem issues, and I think this is
actually the plan.
Yes. So Chair, what I'm proposing to do is maybe just to deal with one or two of the issues. And then I mean there's always an opportunity to come back to deal with some of the stuff. And I think most of the questions are related to in essence two deals with both 2017 and 2018. The trends will give you a little bit more detail as to the adjustments that we're proposing now in the additional adjustment estimate, because all of those adjustments also relate to some draft provisions in the various municipalities, and we've got the detail chairperson on it, and I think Mr. Mayor has expressed the issue around the implementation of the respective municipalities. Other than that, the Department of Local Government will be able to provide the exact detail as the custodian of those funds in terms of on those on various issues. On the issue of the reserve, I think it's also important just to talk about it. That's also extensively, we've written extensively about it on page 57 and also on page 28 of the budget document. Those amounts have been provided for in the budget, but it's not yet been allocated to anybody. And what we've done on the chair, we've actually provided information on what exactly those reserves are for. So we cannot use unforeseen and unavoidable reserve for something to deal with fiscal stabilization the other way on around. I mean, we've experienced over the last 3 years, in particular, the whole issue around fiscal volatility in the entire fiscal public finance space. Even the national government has realized that this is a particular problem, and that's why, even in their own strategy, given the fiscal consolidation, they propose certain measures to deal with both the revenue and the expense side. Our budget does exactly the same. It's good fiscal policy principles, it's good public finance management, and in fact, even one can take their own personal finance to provide for something for the regulator. And that's exactly what this budget actually does. We are really transparent about the particular amounts, and I think, as we've also indicated, is that the funding that we put back into the budget now to deal with amongst others, service those pressures, deal with some of those demands, particularly in some of your frontline service department, is a result of the reserves that we've set aside in the main budget for 2017-18, which we're not going to use in the 2017-18 budget, other than the amount that we've already drawn down. One was for the fire, and obviously the other part was on the 125 that we made, was for the part that we brought into the adjustment estimates in particular to deal with the drought. We're not advocating a different approach dealing with the finances, also given some of the risks that we're having, particularly around the stability of the fiscal framework. And one needs to see that stability against the background of 95% of our resources comes from national. So any instability in the national fiscal will have a direct impact on the way that we put together our finances. And obviously, we will increase in service demand, and in fact, what we want to do, as Mr. Mayor indicated, we want to ensure that there is stability in the service delivery platform. That is why we put these proposals on the table. So the last point from our side, obviously, whenever we deal with pulling these reserves into the budget in terms of the form of allocation, we cannot do it on our own. We will have to come back to this committee to deal with it as far of an appropriation person. I thought it's just important that we contextualize our strategy and how we propose to deal with the fiscal environment of the province to ensure at least that it's a good platform to deliver the service on a sustainable basis, and that, you know, anything is always happens from outside, but from a fiscal environment that we can deal with that in an appropriate and responsible manner.
And this we can deal with the adjusted estimate stuff, also the need to be found, because then I think we can deal with that entire discussion.
Project, and one of the funds, the lead journey over the two capability projects, that 57 million then will be going to
What we'll see is that in terms of the bottom line, it's not affected in terms of local government allocation, but in terms of rather within the allocation of, or the economic classification of many settlements, what is actually happening on a technical level is that the department is shifting funding from goods and services that was voted in terms of the adjustment budget in November. As part of goods and services, they are now shifting to transfer payments to municipalities. Regarding the transfer payments now to municipalities, that is all of the 84.5 is 82.5 is relating to the drought. So after the committee also some insight in terms of in November there was a 55 million allocation to the department in terms of water augmentation. What the department is now, and they were going to do that in terms of in purchasing services and goods, and then redistributing that, where it was going to be required, especially over the festive season in December and January, if any of the towns were going to be seen at a zero in that period of time. What has subsequently happened, and as we do know that the drought is obviously in terms of as the zero being trying to be avoided, there are different projects that are coming online in municipalities. And most of the municipalities have indicated to the department that they have infrastructure projects that they have already started. In terms of water infrastructure projects, mostly in terms of the equipment and filling of boreholes, and the department, the municipalities will give an opportunity to the department to, in terms of, indicate what their project plans were around this, in order to, number one, avoid their zero, and number two, also to ensure that municipalities try and use as little as possible in terms of the main water grid. And there's the department also put some criteria together in terms of the allocation of project funding. So that is what in terms of the 55 million allocation now to municipalities. And then also within the November adjustment budget, 25 million was also put aside for drought relief within municipalities. So part of that package that the municipalities applied to departments for funding, those water projects were also water infrastructure projects were also included in terms of that. So what you can see in terms of the additional adjustments is the bottom line is no effect in terms of appropriation. It is within the classification of the adjustments. And they indicated the Department of Local Government has a detail on each of those projects. Then in terms of that particular sideline to end off on the drought, and the particular question was, sorry, I was trying to get that particular slide. Okay, quite quickly. And the question was, the 1718 165 million members can see there, and the 257 million has, what is that exactly, what is the expenditure in the budget? So in 1718, the 165 million is what the House has voted in the adjustment estimate for 1718 in November. And that is what the Department of Currency is spending. Then in terms of, at the same time in November, we also then indicated in terms of funding that was set aside for 1819. Now as part of the 2018 budget, the 257 million by now is taken out in this adjustment budget now. Sorry, this main budget of 2018 that we're saving. So 1718 is in terms of budget currency that is currently being spent by the department, and 1819 is part of the 2018 budget that is being saved.
Okay, well, I don't think you can hear the post-covering correspondent data that you use for the additional situations. Yes. And to the
the 370 million less for human settlements, that was not answered. can easily refer to a book now. We just here for an half an hour with a book.
Okay, I think that we believers have sometimes can go through the chapter one, which provides the economic overview, which obviously has quite a bit of focus on the economy. But in a nutshell, because of the drought and particularly the impact it's had on the agriculture, or it's estimated to have on the agricultural sector, the Western Cape forecasts about -0.3, which is flat. That's why we say it's flat, so it's almost no growth. But I must note that this forecast has been based on the figures that were estimated for 2016 and 2017 prior to the estimates that have been provided today. And in actual fact, whereas the previous estimates for the Western Cape in 2016 was 0.8, the figures released by SACSA today come in at 1.1%. So it seems that even in terms of economic performance looking in the past, that it has been a little bit more positive than what initially expected. Notwithstanding that, It is expected that the agricultural sector is going to take a massive decline in production, and that has been factored into this. That is the main reason why the Western Cape forecasts are in this time deviating essentially from the national economic picture. It's mainly because of this estimated impact within the agricultural sector. If you look at some of the other sectoral forecasts, you'll see that there's actually recovery predicted. Within catering and accommodation of finance industry and etc. But the drought has been the major cause of the recent case economic growth, which has been estimated to be flat at this stage.
That's thank you for the response. I think we understand, I'm sure, given the current situation moving forward, we will call on the city to give us an update on these figures. I just want to be the platform and the city in general.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on SARS 23, the allocation of municipalities. Can they understand the criteria believed is on the issue of population? But I would like to differ on that. In future, you must check the issue of central crime. Understanding that in central crime, the crime rate is high in crime, which is caused by the unemployment rate. And we know that the central crime is the poorest municipality in the whole province. But now I don't understand. It seems the city also contradicts with the speech of the MPC when he was met here and saying that this budget is the budget for the people to improve living standards. But to me, as I'm checking here, this allocation of the central government, it will never improve standards, living standards of the people of the central government. I'm coming from Karo, I know what I'm talking about. Karo is the poorest. Unemployment rate is high, crime rate is high, HIV is high, everything is high in the car. And the province is not looking at the car. That allocation will never improve the life of the people of the car. I thank you.
Chair, I've been partly covered on two slides five, but in reality, if you look at the slide and if you look at the book, is it correct when you say that while the national growth, real GDP, was adjusted to reflect a 1.3, that the Western Cape in 2007 was 0.7 from the book? So the Western Cape actually lagged behind 0.7 compared to the national 1.3, and that when you describe the growth rate remaining flat, in the book that actually predicts for 2018 to be -3, so that isn't really flat, that's sort of actually negative growth, but it's described as flat, and in the book it says 0.3 is a projection, although it's projected to move up to 2.8, I think, in 2019. But I was just concerned that the way that was described. And then on slide number 6, there's reference there right at the top, citing low levels of growth, the national revenue creation has resulted in reduced transfers from national government on PFES, equal share and conditional grants. And actually, the reduction is cited there as 144 million for 18-19, 475 over the MTS. But if you actually then go to the the breakdown on slide number 24, it says that the percentage average change in regard to equitable share allocation is actually an increase of 6.69%. So in other words, between 2017-18 it was 44 million, this year it's now 47 million, and it's projected to go up to 51 and 55. So I'm trying to work out when you, on slide 6, describe the PES reduction, whereas on the other side there's essentially a growth in the equal share, although the conditional grants is obviously a lot smaller, it's just over 1%. So can you just explain that? It does appear that the equitable share is
would it provide for sustainability of current services? It's now in the context of the provision for fiscal reserves, and what reference is made there to allocation from increased revenue from the PES formula change. Education is an extra 79 in the first year, 92 in the first year, 1% to assist with dealing with increased demand and learner growth. So could you just explain what is that formula change actually, and is that money, although it's coming from equitable share, is it supposed to be allocated to teachers, actually extra provision of teachers? So I presume this is a national change of the PES formula. And we'll stop there.
Thank you,
Chair, I'm sorry, the last question. So these reserves which are articulated there, do we have any other reserves? So you've allocated almost $1 billion and you've placed it there, you can come back to the House to say how you want to allocate it. But does this province, in addition to the provision of those reserves, that presumably excludes other reserves that the province has? Not all reserves there, because you still have other reserves.
Thank you,
so what is the amount of those other reserves which should we still have?
Thank you, Mr.
into our health institutions, and there's also a portion that deals with population in particular.
formula adjustment is also something that's discussed at the budget council and the PCF, and it affects all provinces equally. If your population numbers drop, your PES will drop. If your population numbers increase, then you will see adjustments within your PES formula. So for the Western Cape in particular, this is all of the provinces, there's been reductions, you know, to the tune of 144, but then also we've seen decent or adjustments given the status changes to the tune of 145 million for the MTF, but most of it obviously only in 2020. So year on year, there's normally inflation growth in your budget, obviously in the FES, because it allows for normal inflation to allow at least for some real growth in the budget. So if one looks at the budget nominally, one would see that it's normally about 5.5% growth in, on the revenue side. But obviously, if you discount that with inflation, sometimes you will see that, you know, that you experience some real decreases in the real number. So nominally, one would see that the equitable share on the revenue side increases by about 5.1% or so. But in terms of the absolute numbers, there's been a net reduction of the difference between the 5.5 and the 4.75. So from a budget perspective, we had to first look at how do we accommodate the cut of 144 million in year one before we dealt with the adjustments of dealing with 190. Just on the equitable issue, and I need to make a point, it is not a budgeting tool. National government, national treasury do not prescribe to any government how they must actually apply the equitable share. I mean, it's an unconditional allocation, not the grants, unconditional allocation to provinces, and it's up to every executive and the legislature obviously to determine how they want to slice that equitable share and to which departments they want to obviously deal with it. What we've done internally from the treasury perspective, we've actually analyzed where those adjustments arrive from in the formula, and most of it is the result of the increased service level. That is why in our recommendation to the executive, we said that we need to look at that, because those are the problems and experience problems. There's an education, because of the increased number of learners, and we've got learners to tell you there's a big amount of additional teachers that are going to intake the system, I think 264 if I'm not correct, if I'm not wrong. And then also in the Department of Health, it allows for some real adjustment to their funding and what to deal with the inflation, also to deal with higher than normal inflation within the hospital. So our recommendation to the executive was to use the adjustments because of the population context to deal exclusively with service demands. And I mean that principle was fairly accepted by both PK and also the executive. So that is how we dealt with basically looking at the budget, and then obviously we also have to look at where did we experience the biggest cuts also in the additional grants, and somehow also trying to compensate, particularly where there were commitments around personnel. So in the Department of Human Services and Jobs, they appoint people, engineers, etc., against the grant to actually deliver on some of the stuff. So the grant is cut, obviously there are certain implications in terms of personnel, and that's why part of our principles to the executive was to say we need to protect certain of these departments, and one of them is the Department of Human Settlements, given the size of the cuts that have come through, and then also given the agenda of government to grow the economy to deal with those various issues that we have to deal with. I don't know, Mark, if you want to expand on the issue of the growth, but I think the point that the members are making is absolutely correct. 2018 is an estimate at this stage. If things improve, if we could deal in a proper way with the whole issue of drought, particularly the implications on agriculture, I believe that there is still scope to turn some of those things around. The projection at this stage is in a big way famous on what is happening in the agriculture system. In fact, I was trying to find in my documents now even in the national budget, they've actually explicitly indicated the contribution to the agriculture sector from the Western Cape and how that has impacted even on the growth projection of the country as a whole. So hopefully, if the strategy that we are deploying at the moment to deal with the drought crisis see further shortfalls in the data kind of moving forward, given the need to see.
Thank you. And there was a particular point about, you know, they were talking about the transport
Yeah, the impact on the Indonesian economy. Manasseh, you want to comment?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. I think in response to the capital safe cuts, I have in mind that was discussed here, and I think that is correct. I'm now on the National Treasury Budget 2018, in page 52, in that document clearly indicates what is the provincial capital safe cuts for the next 3 years. It's 1.4 billion, 1.5 billion, in fact 1.6 billion, and then 1.7 billion for all the provinces. And we take a 10% cut of that. So that 1.4 billion cut of provincial capital share is what is now translated into that 144 million, and that 1.6 billion cut translated into 166, and 1.7 billion is 777 million cut that we take on the provincial capital share over the next 3 years. But also important is that the conditional grants are even cut more substantially. If you look at the national treasury document for provinces, it's 3.7 billion rand for conditional provincial conditional grants. For 2019-20, that is 4.8 billion rand cut. For the 2020-21, it's 5 billion rand cut. What you asked specifically was about the local government conditional grants. The local government conditional grants nationally have been cut by 3.1 billion. Next year, 5.2 billion, and now the year, 5.2 billion. And correctly, as indicated, there were no cuts in the national budget from the local government equitable shares, from the local government conditional budget. So that relates to that, and then the specific issue that was asked that they referred to me, that the national treasury has indicated in their document on page 21, that it makes specific reference about the impact of the drought in the Western Cape on the national economy. And they have specifically indicated that there's a severe contraction in the Western Cape economy due to the water crisis, due to threatening employment in agriculture and tourism. And the calculations that were done by the National Treasury show that every 1% contraction in the economy of the Western Cape translates into a subtraction of 0.2% points from overall growth. So it is quite severe, but as an indicator, we would very much like to look at this in a bigger context. And that is in the context of the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and the Free State, because I think this is a national crisis and not only related to the Western Cape. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Jay,
the Longo Cortes issue is on page 45 of the budget, probably, or just in the middle of the page. It's to deal
Minister had presented to us, I think, on time.
it depends on what kind of tax you're investing in. But on average, between around about 4 to 5 jobs for every million land intake. That's say 4 jobs per million land that you invest, and that's a job for a whole year. That I leave to you asking your
individual skeptical.
I'm
not going to be interested in over a cup of tea.
Yeah.